You have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabosky. Israel's foreign minister has announced the man killed in today's Israeli Defense Force operations in Gaza is Hamas head Yahya Sinwar, considered the mastermind of the October 7th attacks. ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers has reaction from the vice president.
Vice President Harris said the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar gives an opportunity to end the war in Gaza.
And it must end such that Israel is secure. The hostages are released, the suffering in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, security, freedom, and self-determination.
The vice president said it's time for the, quote, day after in Gaza, without Hamas in power. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Harris is on the campaign trail today, rallying supporters in Wisconsin. Former President Trump is in New York City. This is ABC News. Officials in Argentina are investigating the death of 31-year-old singer Liam Payne, ABC's Andrea Fugihi.
Distraught fans remembering One Direction star Liam Payne, gathering at the Buenos Aires Hotel where he was found dead.
I can't explain how I'm feeling right now. I'm shaking. I'm really nervous. I can't believe what is happening right now.
Payne was in Argentina after attending a former bandmate's concert. Authorities say he jumped from his third-floor balcony. Police had responded to the hotel for reports of a man acting erratically, his body later found in the courtyard.
Payne had been open about his addiction and mental health struggles. The federal government is making it easier to cancel subscriptions. That includes anything from gym memberships to streaming services. The click-to-cancel rule will require businesses to provide a simple way for you to end subscriptions that includes obtaining your consent before charging you for auto renewals. I'm Mike Dabosky, ABC News.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check that your seats aren't in the visitor section first before buying tickets.
I'm so excited for this game. I can't believe you got us tickets.
Me too. Wait, are we on the wrong side?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
This is going to be a long game.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Vita, hothead! Let's bring the nail gun over here!
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
Floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayland. Wisconsin voters may be casting absentee ballots Tuesday. Some of them will have the option of using ballot drop boxes. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf.
As was the case in 2020, there is not a requirement for municipalities or municipal clerks to report their, to use drop boxes, first of all, or to report their drop box locations to the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Wolf says there are at least 78 boxes available for use in 42 communities. A request to investigate possible intimidation of young voters in Wisconsin.
The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and the group Free Speech for People sent U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and Wisconsin AG Josh Call a letter this week requesting an investigation into whether anonymous text messages sent to college students amount to a form of voter intimidation. The groups cite texts to thousands of young people warning that violating state elections law could mean fines of up to $10,000 or 3.5 years in prison. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
City of Green Bay is not exactly leaping to extend the Packers' Lambeau Field lease, so the team is asking the Green Bay Professional Football Stadium District to step in.
On Wednesday, the team released letters it sent both to Green Bay Mayor Eric Engrick and the Stadium District Board. The Packers' lease for Lambeau Field with Green Bay and the Stadium District ends in 2032. There are options to extend it 10 additional years, but the Packers recently tried extending it by 30 years until about 2063. The team says Gengrich has not met with its officials since January, and that Gengrich requested that any further discussions be preceded by a meeting with Packers President and CEO Mark Murphy. The Packers say the two met in May, but Gengrich canceled a follow-up meeting in September and is not rescheduled. I'm Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today with feisty winds whipping out of the south and gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Pairing that with the drought conditions, there's a high fire danger. Avoid burning. But those winds will shove us to highs in the upper 60s today and the low 70s tomorrow. Save money with lower cost health insurance and better coverage. 1-800-693-9308. Currently, it's 64.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along with us here today as we talk about farming, ranching, and issues impacting rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Keep your operation moving with high-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected during this harvest season. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com. For more information. Coming up here on the program today, we're going to talk with Heather Buchter, Communications Director for Clean Fuels Alliance America in segment three. She's got some updates from Clean Fuels side, their conference coming up here in a few months in San Diego, California. We're going to talk about that and more. At the end of the show, we'll have our sustainable soy update for this week. We'll talk with former leader for the United Soybean Board, Lori Isley, about conservation practices. And before all that, in segment two, we're going to have a recap interview with our friend Mark Kane from Central Minnesota. He's back home. He just wrapped up his journey from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico on a 1940 Farmall M to raise money and awareness for FFA. So all that coming up here on the show. Let's kick things off, though, and talk markets. Joining us now, Tyler Schau, partner at agmarket.net. Tyler, thanks for being with us here today. Hope you're doing well.
Doing good. Always good to visit with you, Jesse.
Well, let's talk these markets, and in particular, soybeans. I'm a little concerned with some of this price action here this week. We've been trying to find some reasons to push this market higher, but it seems like we're kind of running out of reasons, so to speak. We broke through some key support levels, and I'm worried that we could go down and test the summer lows again in beans. What do you think, Tyler?
That makes two of us. You know, you've got a balance sheet that just continues to become more burdensome. Maybe not more burdensome, but it's definitely not getting less burdensome like we're seeing in some of the other markets. And, you know, for the last month and a half, we had some support just on the weather coming out of South America. That has started to change, and it looks, you know, as we keep rolling forward with 2 week forecasts, not only are they getting precipitation, we continue to pump additional rainfall into those forecasts that are for the, you know, 10 to 14 day range. So as long as that keeps occurring, it's going to keep some pressure on that bean market. And you know, we're seeing some renewed interest in it. Volume's been high. Open interest is creeping higher. So yeah, it's a concerning market moving forward.
Well, I know we got a record NOPA crush number this week as well. That's another talking point in this market. And then too, just the overall harvest pressure. A lot of beans going to town off the combine, an added layer here. I just have to think that producers, if they haven't done any sort of marketing on beans, they got to maybe think about something here before the bottom really falls out of this market potentially.
It's tough for us to paint a real rosy picture for anywhere that, you know, if you are behind and you're looking for that short-term rally, I'm not certain where we're going to get it right now. We touched on the South American weather, but you know, for seems like 6 months, we've been talking about that massive short position that managed money funds had in really all grains. You look at the commitment of traders report last week, they had pretty much gone flat as of a week ago Tuesday. So they were still short on the net side, but a far cry from where they were in mid-July and early August. So that fund liquidation story is really no longer a market mover that we're probably going to spend a lot of time looking at. And you're right, fast harvest, we're running out of space for those beans to go into town. Basis is cracking and getting wider in a lot of areas. So just an avalanche of bad news that just really fell on this bean market in the last 2 weeks.
Corn and wheat kind of holding in there this week. One other interesting thing I noticed too is I was looking at the NOV 25 bean, Dease 25 corn spread here today. I'm curious if the way these markets are kind of trading, if we could start, or if we are already starting to maybe buy some corn acres for next year, Tyler.
Oh, there's definitely talk amongst producers that, you know, when you look at the yields that you can bushel your way out of with corn, you know, especially this year where you're seeing a lot of producers that are 20, 25 bushel per acre above APH in certain areas, there's going to be some areas that do not see that type of performance. But when you run the math, when you compare those prices of Dease 25 corn, November 25 soybeans, and you look at your ability to kind of bushel your way into a profitable scenario, the economics right now point towards more corn acres, and you're probably right. Now, the after effect of that is as we move into the spring and the market starts focusing on what our planted acres going to be that, you know, might come in to kind of weigh corn down. So, I mean, kind of switching gears, that might be the spot where guys really need to be looking at, all right, what am I doing? If I know I'm growing corn, if I'm going out and buying fertilizer right now for next year, what am I doing to make sure I'm marketing some of those high-priced inputs that I'm still buying?
That's a great, great point. Good things to think about there. I want to touch on the cattle market before we run out of time in this segment too today. That's the other area I'm a little concerned. I'm wondering if we're starting to run out of steam, particularly in live cattle. We've seen some technical selling this week. Getting a little toppy in the cattle market here, Tyler?
It definitely feels like it. You know, with the last three or four trading days, we've run into a downtrend that really started last September when we hit those record highs on the board. You know, it's hard to even remember back a year ago, but, you know, people were talking about $200 fat cattle at that time. We got to like $199 on a couple of the back month contracts. Your December contract in September, I think it was September 15th, put in a high of $197.47.5. You know, you take the high that we put in there in late July and draw a trend line out, and we've been trading right on that line. We've gone over it. We've traded over it a few times the last week. Haven't been able to, you know, significantly move above it. And you're right. It was kind of like yesterday. Market just kind of got tired, broke down below the 10-day moving average for the first time in nearly over a month. And it just like the sell stop started getting triggered and we broke hard. And now you kind of got this market on pins and needles. And, yeah, I mean, you you take a step back and think about the fact that we're $187 fat cattle. I still contend there's a lot more risk to the downside than there is to the up.
Final thoughts as we close it out here today. I have to think across the board, risk management's key right now, Tyler.
Yeah, it is. You know, unfortunately on soybeans, it feels like we missed the window, or you might have missed the window if you weren't aggressive there for the last month. You kind of pointed that out, though. Like there is possibly much more downside to this soybean market as we move ahead. Take a look at some of those deferred contracts. There's still some carry in the market if you're able to store those beans, and if you're not and they got to go to town, we might get some kind of a flush and you'll have an opportunity to re-own some at some point down the road.
I know folks can reach out, learn more online, agmarket.net. Tyler Schau, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate it.
You bet. Always good visiting with you, Jesse.
AOA today brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants and Premium Diesel. We'll be back with Mark Kane from Central Minnesota on the way right after this.
As a veteran, I live with health impacts from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need.
Well, joining us now here on the program, he is back home in Central Minnesota. We've been following his journey here on AOA as he drove a 1940 Farmall M from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico, pulling a camper to raise awareness and money for FFA. Let's recap his journey. Joining us now, Central Minnesota's Mark Kane is with us here today. Mark,
good to talk with you and glad to hear that you are home safely after what sounded like an amazing trip.
Thank you, Jesse. Yes, it was an incredible journey. Just absolutely incredible. I'm very glad I did it. I don't know if I'd want to turn around and do it again, but it was a wonderful experience for me.
Well, let's talk. As I know, the last time we caught up with you, you were about halfway. You were just in Kansas, and then you were able to finish the journey through Kansas, parts of Oklahoma, Arkansas, and into Texas, of course, to finish by the Gulf of Mexico. Sounded like you had a few issues to deal with the tractor, but everything got fixed and worked out, and you made pretty good time. So kind of walk us through that last half of your journey.
Yep. The entire trip lasted about 19 days of actual driving, and we drove just under 1,900 miles. The last half of the journey was unexpected for me. I thought I'd be going through ranch country. I did not know that western Oklahoma and eastern Arkansas and east Texas was such a vibrant forestry industry. That surprised me. I drove for almost 4 days without really seeing any farmland. Forestry and poultry operations. That's kind of what I saw in those mountains. So that was that was unexpected, but it was a beautiful drive.
Yeah, I bet. And thinking about that drive, I know really at the heart of this too, one of the things is that you met so many great people along the way, people who saw your story on the Facebook page and wanted to see you come through, or just the hospitality folks, you know, offering up a place to park and spend the night and things like that. I mean, talk about just that overall hospitality you found from folks.
Yeah, I had hoped for some of that, but starting out right on the first day already, the amount of it was absolutely overwhelming. I can't even put it into words the kindness that people showed to me. And people would pass me only two times that somebody honked the horn and wasn't happy that I was on the road, but the rest of the time they'd tap the horn and give me a thumbs up, and sometimes they'd be taking pictures. And if it was safe, they'd pull off the road. And if it was safe for me to pull off the road, I'd pull off and chat with them when I could. That happened maybe about a third of the time. I had an elderly couple that drove like 40 miles one morning to catch me on the road.
Wow.
And they were avid farm all collectors. So we had a nice conversation with them. And many times you talk to somebody who just saw the sign or saw the post on Facebook like a couple days before and knew I'd be hitting through that area, and all of a sudden going like, oh my gosh, there he is. Let's stop and talk to him. So it was just, I just met a lot of really nice people, a lot of a strong FFA agriculture support background all through central United States.
Well, and thinking about that again, that was the other thing I was going to bring up here, of course, is that you were raising awareness and raising money for FFA, the local chapter in your area. But I mean, talk about that aspect for us a little bit here, and just kind of, you know, what you found, and just the broad, I guess, swath of folks who are FFA alumni who came out to show their support for you as well, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, the goal was, you know, kind of threefold. First, it was a bucket list thing for me that went extremely well. And then it was to raise awareness for FFA alumni. One of the misnomers, I guess, is that the word alumni kind of implies that you have to have been in FFA when you were in high school. And that's nothing but could be further from the truth. You just have to take an interest in FFA either for your kids or your grandkids, or your neighbor kids, or FFA or agriculture in general to become an alumni member. So we wanted to highlight the importance of that, because nationwide, less than 50% of FFA chapters have an alumni to support them. And almost invariably, every chapter that has an alumni is a better chapter because of the support from alumni.
I know that, on the Facebook page, you, of course, have documented your journey. We followed along there. It's FFA AgriCruise across the states. And I know that there's a Venmo link there. You guys have had people who've inquired, I believe, about sending in checks or cash and things like that. And I know you and I were talking off air. You're going to leave kind of the donation window up here, the fundraising effort, till about the end of the year, right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah, we're still getting funds coming in. The amount of followers was amazing. I mean, there's a lot of junk on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I ended up with over 5,000 followings, and they say that for every person that clicks and indicates that they're going to follow, you can almost double that for people that just look at it but don't click on following. So that was incredible. Mm-hmm. The media that exposure that helped the cause. So
what is the biggest takeaway, maybe, as you've had a couple of days here to decompress from the journey and reflect and think about it, what's the biggest takeaway that you've found from embarking on this journey, Mark?
Just the sheer amount of kindness and support bestowed on me. It was 10 times bit more than I anticipated. That was just, it was humbling, overwhelming, and greatly, greatly appreciated.
Well, we're happy to hear that and happy to see that everything went off mostly smoothly. I would say smoothly, minus a few of the mechanical hiccups that you got repaired very, very quickly. Yeah. And again, just really awesome stuff. FFA AgriCruise Across the States is the Facebook page. You can look back on Mark's journey and more there. And we really appreciate the time and glad to see you did this and completed this journey in one piece and got home safely, Mark. And it's been fun to follow along with you here on AOA as well. So thank you again for sharing the story with us. And we will look forward to talking to you again in the future. I will say, Mark, you know, maybe next year, do you want to take another trip like this?
I think this is probably a one and done. It was financially expensive for me.
Yeah.
And it was pretty physically tiring. I mean, I had both hands on the wheel and looking in the mirrors and worried about, you know, hitting something on the road or getting hit by a truck. And it was very, very fatiguing, but I'm extremely glad I did it, but I think it's a one and done.
I was hoping for an Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast journey on a different tractor. That's actually something too I should mention. I know before you left Texas, you sold the Farmall M, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I had anticipated selling the camper down there and hauling the tractor back. It was hard to find an affordable way to get the tractor back home. I was exploring all kinds of options. And then a couple down there, they have, they're from Winnie, Texas, and they're involved with some social media. And he asked if I'd be interested in selling the tractor. And I said, well, for the right price, I might be. And then the next morning, he shot me an offer. And I said, well, what are you going to use the tractor for? And he said, well, he's part of the historical museum down there. They have a large, large, large building that they keep antique rice machinery in. And he said, this tractor is going to go into the museum and it'll only get used about 5 or 6 times a year in parades and for the rice festival. And I thought that was something that would honor my late father, who was the owner of the tractor before me. And so I left the tractor down there and I ended up pulling the camper home.
That is a very, very good reason, I would say, to let that tractor find a new home. Again, just awesome stuff. And the Facebook page, FFA AgriCruise Across the States, for more. Mark Kane from Central Minnesota. Mark, it's been great catching up and talking with you, sir. Thanks for joining us here today on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse, and thank you for the coverage.
Such a fun story to follow. Once again, Mark Kane joining us here today, and that Facebook page where you can find more information is FFA AgriCruise Across the States. That's FFA Agri-Cruise Across the States. If you search for that on your Facebook page, you will find more. You'll see a ton of pictures from Mark's journey. And there's also the link there to Venmo if you are willing to make a donation to his cause and more, help support FFA, his local chapter, and FFA alumni and more. Just such a fun story to follow. And again, appreciate the time that Mark has shared with us here over the last several weeks on his journey from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico. AOA today, powered by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help fleets achieve superior strength and performance.
Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or go to Cenex.com for more. Up next, we'll talk with Heather Buchter from Clean Fuels Alliance America. Back with more on AOA right after this.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. November milk up 31 to 2147. December up 25 to 2153. January up 19 to 2079. February milk up 20 to 2028. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were mixed. Feeder cattle were also mixed. Higher in the nearby, lower in deferreds on some spread trade. Now, the cattle market's still waiting for the cash markets to develop. Asking prices were noted in the south at 189 to 190 and in the north at 298 plus. But we'll need to see some strength in those cash markets to move markets higher tomorrow. Meanwhile, hog markets, they moved mostly higher on the day. After some technical selling yesterday, nearby month was still just a bit lower, but the trade still saw some higher pork cutoff values that helped many deferred contracts. October live cattle down 42 cents to 186.62. October feeder cattle up 62 cents to 246.72. December hogs down 2 cents to 77.67. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mixed, soybeans higher, wheat also higher. Now the harvest production continues to help pressure corn and beans, but there was a little bit of short covering to help support the bean market's lot of positioning as well ahead of the export inspections report for the week coming out tomorrow. Wheat markets moved mostly higher. December corn up 2 to 406 and 3 quarters. November beans up 8 and 3 quarters.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Ranchers Informed, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to Cenex.com for more information. Well, right now, let's catch up with our friends at Clean Fuels Alliance America. Joining us now, Director of Communications, Heather Buchter, is with us from Clean Fuels. Heather, good to talk with you again. Welcome back to AOA. How are you?
Hi, Jesse. Thanks again for having me on the show. Always appreciate the opportunity and looking forward to chatting today.
Yeah, we got a few different topics that we want to catch up on. And I think just a good spot for us to start, the annual Clean Fuels Conference, that is coming up here pretty quickly. It's in mid-January 2025. I mean, hard to believe that's only a couple of months away. And registration is now open. Talk about this year's Clean Fuels Conference.
Yeah, that's right. So the Clean Fuels Conference is being held January 20th through the 23rd in San Diego, California, at the Hilton San Diego Bayfront Hotel. So San Diego in January, not a bad place to be in the middle of winter, right? We're really excited to be back there again this year for the Clean Fuels Conference. And what we're really excited about is that we already have a number of confirmed featured speakers, and they're really going to showcase just a lot about our industry from different aspects. A couple of the highlights would be the president of Union Pacific, Beth Whited. And we're really excited to hear from her because the rail market is really showing signals that they want to increase their usage of biodiesel specifically. They're recognizing that it's the lowest cost, readily available fuel for them to decarbonize most quickly. So it's really exciting to see the rail market jumping on board. We've been kind of knocking at their door for years, and now they're really paying attention to us and partnering with us. Union Pacific did recently become a member of Clean Fuels Alliance America. So excited to hear from them and see what their goals are. Another featured speaker is Lucas Lynch. So the president of the United Soybean Board, he's also going to be on our main stage talking about feedstocks. So really excited that he's going to be joining us this year. And then Cliff Smith, who is the executive officer of the California Air Resources Board, also known as CARB. So a lot happening in California right now. Those are just some of the featured speakers that I wanted to mention today, but we've got a number of them. So really excited about the content that's really driving people to our conference, and we hope to put on a great show again.
Well, I know cleanfuelsconference.org. If folks want to learn more, get registered, et cetera, that's the best place to go for more information, isn't it, Heather?
Yeah, absolutely. Cleanfuelsconference.org. You'll be able to see the entire agenda. So all of the sessions are outlined there, as well as some of the speakers, and then just hotel accommodations, early bird special, which ends in about a month, roughly a month. So make sure that you go check all of that out, and we'll get you fixed up. And it's just a really great opportunity to network, to get business done, and to learn more about the industry with biodiesel and renewable diesel and even sustainable aviation fuel.
Absolutely. A lot of topics to think about. You mentioned CARB. I want to talk about that a little bit. Many are watching the California market pretty closely right now because of some of CARB's proposals, one in mind, a 20% cap on vegetable oils. So talk about this. What is Clean Fuels Alliance America doing to ensure markets like these, like the one in California, remain open for soybean farmers, Heather?
Yeah, so that was something that, you know, we've been working with CARB, our state team has, for a number of years as they're crafting their legislation and really having input. And honestly, you know, one of the most important partnerships that we have with various soybean associations and their farmer leaders is to help us stay connected with farmers and really make sure that their voices are being heard in the development of clean energy policies. So both on the state level and the federal level, but particularly we've been working with CARB and in California for a number of years. So, you know, we weren't too thrilled when we heard about the 20% cap on vegetable oils going into their latest amendments. We thought we had kind of squashed that, and then it came back up. So we're kind of looking at, you know, why it came back up and working with CARB's educational board just to educate them on what our industry is and trying to figure out more in detail about the steps that they're taking, because CARB is set to vote on the proposal on November 8th. So if it passes, that 20% cap will go into effect in 2028. So we're just kind of looking at, you know, who all may be grandfathered in and how all of those different nuances will work within this proposal as it stands. But as you mentioned, you know, California is a really important market for biodiesel and renewable diesel because of its low carbon fuel standard. So currently, biomass-based diesel makes up nearly 75% of the state's diesel pool. And if you think about that, that is just incredible. It's so we've seen exponential growth within the past couple of years, and they're on track to be 100% displacement of fossil fuel by 2028. So at Clean Fuels Alliance America, our state team is really working to ensure that oils, and particularly soybean oil, which remains the primary feedstock for clean fuel production, are fairly represented in markets like California that have these low carbon fuel standards in play. Just because, you know, other states, as they're adopting clean transportation legislation, they're really looking at California as a leader. So just know that, you know, we are working on behalf of soybean farmers, really trying to get to the root of why this 20% cap is in place and actively working to make suggestions and urgently having CARB reconsider that.
We're talking with Heather Buchter, Director of Communications for Clean Fuels Alliance America, and thinking about, you know, CARB and its cap on vegetable oils that we're talking about here, and just thinking about soybean oil and different feedstocks here for fuels, for sustainable aviation fuel. You mentioned that earlier, et cetera, et cetera. I want to lean in on soybean oil a little bit here. Is the demand for soybean oil for clean fuels production, is it growing right now, Heather? Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. To put it into perspective, we're using over 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every single month. So that's roughly 14 billion pounds a year, according to USDA, just to make clean fuels. So what that's doing for soybean farmers is adding about 13% of value to the total soybean. So we're really proud to add value. So again, you know, just our primary feedstock for clean fuels production. And our long-term models are still heavily favoring soybean oil as a feedstock for biomass-based diesel and as it continues to grow. So we're well on our way to reaching Clean Fuels' vision of 6 billion gallons by 2030. And of course, we're looking forward to continuing to see American soybean farmers innovating to meet that demand as we see more emerging markets like sustainable aviation fuel, the rail market, as I mentioned earlier, and even the marine space. They've actually ISO just approved a 100% biodiesel usage in marine vessels. So we're looking to work in these spaces and continue opening up markets and having the feedstock available for them with our farmer friends to innovate and just meet that demand.
I should ask, thinking of demand real quick before we close out, with sustainable aviation fuel, we're still waiting on some of the tax credit guidance from the Treasury, et cetera, et cetera. It's supposed to take effect with 45Z here on January 1. Any updates, anything that your team there at Clean Fuels has heard in regards to where some of that stands surrounding SAF right now, Heather?
Yeah, so that's something that we're really, it is kind of putting in a tough situation just with the uncertainty in the marketplace right now. So we continue to work our federal team on Capitol Hill just to make sure that we can get that guidance out, which helps us prepare for the next years. You know, our models do show that there's currently not enough domestic feedstock to meet our current production of biomass-based diesel and SAF. So we do see that some imports are necessary, but of course we always want to support soy first. So we are continuing to work diligently on Capitol Hill to see if we can get that guidance out for the end of the year before it takes effect. And we'll continue to do that and appreciate, you know, all the input that we've been getting from our soy friends to better represent them as well, along with our QSSBs too. All that input deeply matters to us, and we will continue to, you know, work with our federal team to make sure that we represent them well.
Well, folks can find more information at cleanfuels.org. Again, that website, cleanfuels.org. We appreciate the time. Clean Fuels Alliance America Communications Director Heather Buchter. Heather, thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
Once again, Heather Buchter, Communications Director for Clean Fuels Alliance America, joining us here today on AOA. A lot of stuff going on with Clean Fuels, and a reminder again, that conference, cleanfuelsconference.org. And as Heather mentioned, featured speakers, the president of Union Pacific as one of them, Lucas Lynch from the United Soybean Board, another, many great folks going to be speaking during the Clean Fuels Conference. So get registered, cleanfuelsconference.org. And to Heather's point earlier, nothing wrong with going to San Diego in January, in my opinion. Today's AOA powered by Cenex. Protect your equipment with high-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. It can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Go to your nearest Cenex store or visit them online, cenex.com, for more information. All right, coming up next, we're going to close out the show with our sustainable soy update with the United Soybean Board. We're going to talk about conservation practices tied in with Farmers for Soil Health. Lori Isley is a farmer leader from Michigan. She'll join us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Being blind doesn't all
at Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer. Their best skill is knowing how to listen, because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 20. Durant.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Not everyone can fix their own car. Or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals, to businesses, to governments, and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update Series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more. It's time now for week 4 of our Sustainable Soy Update here on AOA. Joining us now, she is a fourth-year farmer leader who serves as the Health and Nutrition Supply Workgroup Lead and serves on the United Soybean Board's Value Alignment and Communication and Education Committees. She grows soybeans and corn in Michigan. Lori Isley is with us here today. Lori, thanks for joining us on the Sustainable Soy Update. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
Well, thank you for the time. Let's talk conservation practices. What conservation practices have you found most effective in adapting to changing climate conditions, Lori?
We've implemented a lot of different conservation practices on our farm over the last 15 to 20 years. I think anytime, almost anything you can put in place that will maintain your soil and keep it in the place where you want to have it, but also to enhance its health, are going to be positive when it comes to combating the effects of climate change. We have done a lot with precision agriculture as far as, first of all, understanding what our soil has already and only adding those things that we need to add to it. We also use both strip till with our corn and no-till with our soybeans, which we think allows that residue to stay on the soil and then builds up that organic matter. So we really feel pretty comfortable that we're trying to use those nutrients that we're adding and make sure they're available to the plants, as well as trying to eliminate any soil erosion that might happen.
Thinking about those practices you've been using for years now, what insights have you gained from utilizing these practices?
I think the most important thing we've probably learned from that is that implementing conservation isn't just a good thing to do for the environment, but it can also increase your profitability. And I think until we tie conservation practices to profitability, especially in the age that we're in right now where we have low commodity prices, it's pretty hard to sell that practice. But we have found that by reducing the number of trips we make across the field and being smarter with how we use our nutrient inputs, that we've been able to impact our bottom line. So I think that's really important to remember. We've also, although building organic matter is a really, really slow process, we've seen at least that we're able to show some increase in that and at least not a decrease in the amount of organic matter that's in our soil. And of course, that organic matter is responsible for that carbon sequestration as well. So we think that these long-term practices, but conservation isn't a try it this year and automatically see a dramatic increase in yield. It's a long-term investment in what I'm doing to both work with something that's good for the environment as well as something that's good for future generations.
Let's talk cover crops and bring that into this discussion, Lori. How do cover crops contribute to protecting your land and improving sustainability on your farm?
One of the things we have found most beneficial about cover crops is we're a brady sandy loam soil. Most of our farm is, and we're very flat. So between being flat and sandy and getting some winds there, one of the major benefits we see with cover crops is simply just holding that soil in place. So we really like to see a crop on our ground 12 months out of the year. So we put that cover crop on into the growing crop, and then we just have something that's always maintaining matter in the soil, because we really try just to plant within that. So those are probably the two areas that we've seen the increase in organic matter, but also probably most importantly for us is just maintaining that soil and holding it in place.
Why is it important to spread the word about these various conservation practices, cover crops, et cetera? From your perspective, why is it important to share this with folks?
I think people need to understand that agriculture is a critical part of our communities. I think it's important for productivity, particularly if you're looking 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, you're looking at, okay, what do I want this soil to look like for my children or my children's children if it stays there, or even for whomever might have it later. And as we see more and more land going out of agriculture, I think keeping the land that we have as healthy and productive as possible is really a critical point. We've done several events at our farm where we bring people in, we talk to them about strip tilling, we do do a soil profile so they can see how we've managed to build some of that organic matter in our soil. And so some of it is really just, we have a responsibility to protect our environment, but I think we can do that in a way that does not decrease our profitability. So those are the key points we try and carry on. Plus, we have looking at the larger picture, we really want to make sure that we have a story, that we have a positive environmental story that we can share, not just with consumers, but also with governmental agencies and places that are making decisions about how they use biofuels or how they make decisions about what they're going to purchase and not purchase based a little bit on whether or not we are implementing those practices. So sometimes we need to look beyond just what works for us on our farm and what does the big picture look like.
What are some investments that Checkoff makes to assist farmers in this area, Lori?
Well, as the chair of the Supply Health and Nutrition, I get to be involved in a lot of that farmer-directed research. So we do a lot of research on conservation practices. We do research on a little bit on some of the bio ones. We do a little bit now with biologics and comparing what those do and how they impact the soil and whether they can reduce our need to use some other types of fertilizers. We've made quite a few investments in a lot of different areas there. We also, of course, have made an investment, are working a lot on the Farmers for Soil Health, which is kind of a major initiative, which is between us and a couple other of the commodity organizations that really are boots on the ground to help farmers see, to provide funds for them and allow them to be able to implement or try these practices, maybe not on all of their acres, but maybe just on a small section to see how it works for them and then hopefully build from there.
Lori, anything else you'd want to add today?
I guess if you're interested at all, I'll tell you a little more just about that Farmers for Soil Health. It is with pork and corn, and it's really designed to give payments for cover crops first off, but it really has three prongs. The first is the cover crop payments, which is $50 over 3 years, as well as a payment for those that have been doing cover crops for a long time, as we have, which is pretty unusual for a lot of those projects. It also, however, will provide technical assistance if you're interested in looking at other conservation practices at no cost to you. And it also seeks to put together and is in the process of doing a marketplace where farmers can connect directly with companies and organizations that really want to be able to say, we're getting this product from farms that are using these practices. So we think by using that three-prong approach, it will really help farmers to increase, again, their profitability because they're being paid for using these practices, as well as give them an opportunity to get started in them if they're not comfortable with them or haven't felt support for that going forward.
FarmersForSoilHealth.com and UnitedSoybean.org. That is our Sustainable Soy Update with Lori Eisley here on AOA, powered by Cenex. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes
CHS.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that in